Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Call Talk for Wednesday, January 20th. Our topic today is after call work time, how to minimize and still have great customer records. During the call, we invite you to ask questions via email at calltalk@benchmarkportal.com or call in to the host and ask your questions and interact with the show. The number to call in is 347-857-3117. Everyone who asks a question via email or phone on the show will receive a free copy of Bruce's book, Benchmarking at Its Best, and one person will be chosen at random to win an in-depth reality check report value of $1,500. And now I'd like to introduce the host of Call Talk, Bruce Belfiore.
Hello. Thank you very much, Sean, and welcome everybody back to Call Talk. Our listeners chose today's topic on after-call work time. Okay, it's not the most blood-stirring of metrics, not one that we sit down and chat about every day, but it is an integral part of handle time, and one which does deserve a microscope on it for once. I mean, even after-call work time deserves a little TLC. So today, after-call work time will get its 15 minutes of fame on Call Talk. Actually, we give it 30 minutes of fame. In fact, we have a information-filled half-hour ahead, which will include the results of the one-minute survey that many of you have participated in. And to help us sort through the somewhat arcane components of after-call work time, we have as our guest today John Chatterley. Now, John has worked in our industry for over 20 years, many of those as a hands-on call center employee and manager at pretty much every level, from agent to call center director with a Fortune 500 company. So a lot of experience here. And he was responsible for actually building and launching two centers. So John's known to many of you as the author of numerous research papers and content editor of others. And his books include Offshore or Outsourcing Opportunities that he wrote with Dr. John Anton. So John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm happy to be with you.
Okay, great. Well, John, let me start off by telling my favorite story about after-call work time. I went into one center where we had gotten their benchmarking report ahead of time, and it had indicated that they had 0 seconds after-call work time. And I thought, well, this is great. These are people who are able to do everything during the course of the call. And then I started doing some side-by-sides, which is the best way to find out what's really going on in a center. And I started hearing the agent saying, hello, this is so-and-so. Thank you for calling XYZ Company. Could you hold for a minute while I finish up the record on the previous call? So what they actually...
I'm afraid that's all too typical.
That's right. No, it's not the last time, unfortunately, I've heard it. So they sort of legislated after-call work time out of existence, but it really wasn't. It was simply included in the talk time of the following call. So in any event, was part of handle time, I guess. That's where it comes in. But, John, over to you. If you could give us some your opening comments on it, and then we can take a look also at the research that we've just done.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. After-call work time, wrap time, post-call processing, these are just some of the names that important little bit of time once a call has ended with an agent is called. And that while many call centers or many call center managers recognize this as part of a daily part of their operation, most call center managers that I know also regard it as a constant challenge, because it always seems that if attention isn't paid to it, after-call work time tends to creep up, and then that impacts the volume of calls they can field. It starts to impact queue time and call handling efficiency. So it does need to be paid attention to. And the recent survey that we conducted, I think, highlighted that fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a very important little component of time there. And of course, we have seen some centers that have quite long after call work time, and we've seen situations in which the agent needs to enter quite a bit of record in, sometimes from handwritten notes they've taken during the call, and sometimes that's an indication that their agent desktop is not really efficient. they have to resort to the handwritten notes because of the fact that they would have to toggle among too many screens to basically deal with the information during the call. And in other cases, it's because they actually have to get up and go to a filing cabinet or do something that's paper-based. So we see that as well. Back over to you, John.
Well, I'm sure a lot of the people on the phone are listening in on the call today participated in our recent one-minute survey.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we take a look at a couple of the preliminary results that have mm-hmm. come in. We received excellent participation and response on this topic, so that's an indication that many people regard it as important and something that's on their minds quite a bit. One of the questions that we asked them was, do some or all of the calls that their call center handles necessitate after-call documentation? The response was overwhelming. Over 92% of those that responded indicated that some of their calls require after-call documentation.
Mm-hmm. So this is something that really does touch everybody. I mean, it may be a bit arcane and, seemingly a smaller topic compared to some of the others. But in fact, it's one that does touch, as you said, 92% of those polled. And I thought it was interesting, too, those who answered no, in other words, that 8%, the reason that they didn't have any after-call work time on any calls was because in over 80% of the cases, they're able to actually complete the documentation during the call. And the rest, it's because they have the kind of call that is simple information like, you know, nearest location of stores, operation hours, and that kind of thing.
Right, right. Yeah, I found that very enlightening. Not that it was altogether unexpected, but there are tools out there these days that some call centers have started to use to help them improve the their ability to handle or to document the calls while the caller is still on the call.
Okay. Why don't you tell us about some of those and what people gave back as responses on those?
Well, we asked the question which tools they use, and over three-quarters of them indicated that electronic CRM or customer relationship management systems are being used. These systems tend to help automate the call record keeping and include things that such as pre-formatted text to paste into the call report, the use of short codes mm-hmm. to document caller issues or actions,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So those are the tools that most respondents indicated that they use mm-hmm. in order to document their calls and speed up the after-call work part of the call handling process.
Right, right. You know, John, one of the things that we do when we work with call centers is try to find out what the best process is and also what the financial impact of that is. I think one of the areas in which we see the greatest ROIs is with good electronic CRM, pre-formatted text, the things that you're talking about, going from wherever you are now to an optimized system, whether that is your first electronic CRM or a better electronic CRM, is oftentimes one of the highest ROI things that you can do, return on investment things that you can do, not only for the call center, but for your company. And,
yes.
You know, do you find the same thing?
I do. I certainly do. And I can't emphasize how much a few seconds or a few minutes of improvement in after-call handling can improve the bottom line because of the efficiency that it brings to the operation.
Well, here I think a takeaway for all of our listeners is if you don't know how much a second of time is worth on your handle time for your call center, please calculate it. Find that out, or at least get it approximately, and then think about how you might be able to reduce your average handle time by how many seconds if you had an optimized system where your CRM really worked well, where the toggling among different screens, because I've seen screens up to, let's see, I think the tops I've seen is 15 screens have to be toggled among. If that kind of optimization could be done, and in some cases you can actually get middleware that will greatly improve the functionality, the usability of your CRM software if it's particularly laden with legacy systems and stuff. And the ROI on that integration can be very, very high. John?
Yes, right, Bruce. I'd like to move to another result that that I found very interesting in the study, and that is that we asked them the question, how regularly do they track their after-call work time? Mm-hmm. And I was surprised to find out that nearly 30% either don't track after-call work time or only track it as infrequently as a month. Mm-hmm. That's a long time to go without checking to see how your after-call work time performance is, because that just lengthens out the amount of time before you're able to implement any improvement initiatives, whether they be technology-based or whether they be brought about through training and coaching, to again, improve that performance that eventually trickles down to the bottom line.
Right. Okay, so another takeaway here is for those who aren't tracking their after-call work time to do so, and then to try to really think about what are the components of after-call work time so that they can improve it. We probably should mention that the all-industries average for our Purdue Center for Customer-Driven Quality database for after-call work time is 2.5 minutes. So that's obviously going to change substantially from one industry to the next, but it's a benchmark in terms of the industries as a whole. And John, there are some people who kind of fix the system, kind of preload it. Do you want to talk about that? That was one of our questions as well in terms of after-call work time.
Sure. We asked them what percent actually preload the system and program it for a predetermined amount of or a fixed amount of ACW time. Per call, we learned that 33%, only 33% do this. Over two-thirds of them do not. Mm-hmm. Not having a fixed amount of time is one way to count on after call work time creeping up. On the other hand, having a fixed amount of time does have a potential downside. So if someone sets a fixed target for in their system for the amount of time allocated to after-call work, then they need to make certain that, A, the agent has the tools, B, they have the training, and C, they have the skills to be able to accomplish that. If that becomes a barrier, then their performance may actually start to go down. As a matter of fact, in our survey, one of the responses that we got...
John, excuse me if I interrupt, but apparently we've got a technical issue. Sean, did you want to interrupt and tell us what's happening?
Yeah, apparently there has been a mix-up in the length of the show from Blog Talk. It's going to shut down in 30. Sorry, actually, it's been extended. I was able to get in touch with them. We're all set. So I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. Sean, the miracle worker, thanks very much. Okay, so we won't have to have after-show work time here. We can continue on with the show. Okay, sorry for that interruption, John. Please continue.
Well, I just wanted to note that one of our respondents indicated that they were using a fixed amount of time, that they actually had to lower their goal in order to get people to move toward it. Mm. But in lowering their goal, which means lengthening the amount of time allocated to after-call work, actually improved their overall call handling performance. So it needs to be tracked, in my opinion. It should be tracked at the very least weekly, and in many cases, I think it ought to be tracked daily,
right,
in order to be able to quickly catch any trends or any changes and head them off before they turn into a real problem.
Okay, this is a perfect metric, really, where you can do some experimenting and sort of make sure that you have controlled circumstances so that you can do some experimentation for those who want to set a fixed amount of after-call work time. Because, as you said, the downside is there are actually two. One is that they may not have sufficient time to finish up and therefore do good records, and therefore there can be errors in the record, which is a supplemental bad side to it, and they can have continuing deleterious results. And then, it may be actually too much time. And I've been in a couple of centers where they actually have a little bit extra time that they put in there, and it's actually they expect that it will help to reduce agent burnout by actually giving them a little bit of downtime between calls, and it's scheduled in there. So it's kind of interesting.
A little breathing room, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a little breathing room, and it's actually policy to do it that way. And taking that away can sometimes be very difficult, because people are going to obviously grumble about it if they've gotten used to it. So you have to be a little careful in going to it, because people will sort of get used to this little bit of, you know, coffee sipping time or let your mind wander time in between calls. Sean, I think we've got a question.
Yes. Jeff asks, our average after-call work time is too high. Can you suggest a quick way that we can bring it down?
Mm. Okay. John.
Well, the quickest way is to implement some individual or group training and coaching. That is to say, combine that with call monitoring, determine what it is that's causing the call after call work time to be long, and then combining that with training programs that can be done either on an individual coaching basis, on a group coaching or training session, and give them tools or not tools, but yep, suggestions on things that they can do to speed up their after call work time.
Mm.
Often the centers have groups where some individuals seem to excel in being able to do after-call work efficiently and quickly. Those are the people that the coaches and supervisors ought to select to work with others who seem to be having a problem. Pass along what they all have already learned. Sometimes seasoned agents have picked up techniques and ways of improving their call after-call work time, and those can quickly be passed on to the newer agents as skills and techniques that they can follow.
Yeah, never underestimate, really, communication and training and coaching and how that can all help out. I've been in many situations where managers feel like, okay, what am I going to do about this? I need the agents to do something, and how am I going to get them to do it? And you know, oftentimes they just forget. You just sometimes just need to tell them about it. If they're, you know, reasonably mature and dedicated people, if you say, look, we need to do this in terms of our metrics, we're going to be tracking it, and here are the goals, but also here's the support we can give you in terms of tips, which you mentioned, John, and they come through the coaching, and that will help actually give success on the metric. And if you can also indicate, you know, some ways that other people are succeeding, then that's great. You know, one other thing, too, is, and I'd be interested if people in the audience have strong opinions on this, is generational differences. one of the things that can drive us nuts about our kids is that they're always multitasking, right? They seem to be talking on the phone, they are watching TV, and they're writing their paper for school at the same time. And that ability to multitask can sometimes actually be positive for call center managers in terms of bring down after-call work time because they get to do more during the call. So that's just something. John, do you have any comment on that, or should we go on to the next question?
Well, just a brief comment, and that is that in the responses that we received in our survey, a number of respondents indicated that they're moving towards ways to teach their agents better multitasking skills. So it goes right along with what you were just saying.
Okay. We'll have to do some research at some point, too, on the Gen X, Gen Y factor and millennial factor just to see if, in fact, that is something good. And there may be some people in the audience who haven't thought about that before and who may, in fact, have some problems with the Gen X, Gen Y millennials and may, in fact, find a little bit of a silver lining in those people if they can motivate them to do well.
Right.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to throw in one other thought, and that is that in addition to the training, coaching, and passing on the skills from agent to agent, there's also the introducing of incentives that can many times encourage people, you know, setting up a contest with rewards, gifts, plaques, or other things. One of the most popular is offering a priority and shift bidding to high performers. And then, of course, there's monetary incentives and promotions, extra time off, and so forth that can be offered as incentives. In our survey, over three out of every five respondents indicated that they use gifts, plaques, and other other rewards as a recognition for performance in improving ACW performance. So I just wanted to add that part.
No, it's great. Absolutely essential. The incentive part is important. And remember when at the beginning of this show we mentioned that any of you who don't know what the cost per second of agent time is and therefore of after-call work time should calculate that. Because if you're trying to get approval through for some of these incentives, whether they be direct monetary incentives or other kinds of incentives that may cost a bit of money, and you can show that second of time is worth X, and then you can show that by giving an incentive that's one-half X, you can actually get better performance, then you've got a very strong case for your management to fund the incentives that you're looking for. So important things to do on in terms of improving your performance. Okay, Sean, do we have another question?
We do, but there are two questions that came out more clarifying. Tom just asked, please repeat the industry benchmark for after-call handle time. Did you say 2.5 minutes?
Yeah, no, 2.5 minutes. 2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes.
Yeah, 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then another person asked, in answering Jeff's question, you suggest coaching about good techniques, but you're avoiding saying what those techniques actually could be. Do you have any techniques that you could suggest?
Sure do. John, do you want to handle that first?
Absolutely. Coaching on techniques actually starts at the very beginning of the hire process. People should be, prospective agents should be screened for their typing skills, and also not only typing skills, but their accuracy skills. If that's made a part of the initial screening and training process, then that will carry over into the call center as they go live and begin to perform. The next thing on training is training the agents clearly on what's required in call text, logs, notes, et cetera. Many times call centers assume that an agent is just simply going to write a verbal dialogue of the call, and some people can turn that into an essay. But it really needs to be passed on and embedded in the minds of the agents that there are certain specific pieces of information that need to be documented, and once those are done, that's sufficient for the call record.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two things, really quick. And then a third thing is to check the various time classifications that you use in your switch to make sure that that activities that are not related to after call work are not getting rolled into the after call work metric in your switch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as obvious as the others, but sometimes ACW or aux time or other work codes are not used, and the agents end up using ACW time for bathroom breaks, things of that kind. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, interesting you mentioned bathroom breaks, because I was in a center recently where they had posted in the bathrooms the things about record keeping for the after call work time. And in terms of specific things, I think the name was Tom, for coaching, a lot of it has to do with the tips that people who have been there a while know. And since after call work time is very much dependent on the CRM system, it's very hard to generalize. But some of the things that I've seen work in specific situations, Tom, are understanding where you can cut down on time by cutting and pasting information. Obviously, that's where the coaching comes in. What you'd tell the IT people is you should make it so that you can populate with a click of a button or automatic population. But, you know, you were talking, Tom, you're particularly asking about coaching rather than the technology. And therefore, if people know where they can perhaps cut and paste instead of having to re-enter, the most optimal way to go around the CRM page, I've seen people say, oh, yeah, you know, some of the new people are doing things this way, whereas if they did it this way, they'd be able to do it a lot faster. Toggling is one of those things as well. So if you put those things together, what your best practices agents are doing in terms of efficiency in inputting the information, guiding the call, because sometimes if you can guide the call, you can teach people how to guide the call for getting the information that's needed for the customer record, then you can avoid having the call guided too much by the customer and therefore having to, you know, jump all over the place. Long term, you should try to get your technology right. Short term, by using best practices, tips and tricks from your best agents, and pushing those over through to coaching, you can really gain a lot of time. Okay, good. Sorry, Sean. Hopefully that answers Tom's question.
I think we did. So the next two questions are kind of interrelated. Michael asks, Benchmark Portal is the authority on call center performance. So what is the average after-call work time across the general industry? And Christine, which kind of goes over the similar metric, asked, we implemented a new comp system last month. After-call work time has almost doubled. Is there an average time in which I can expect after-call work time to even out?
Mm, interesting. Okay, I'd love to know the details on that second one. Well, 2.5 minutes is the all industries average for after-call work time. However, it will vary considerably from industry to industry. So the best way to know what it is for your industry is to do a benchmark and see how your after-call work time compares directly with the industry average for yourself. And if you want to send us an email, we can find that out for you. In terms of that second one, John, do you want to comment on that? I think there's a ton of variables that we don't know about, but her after-call work time doubled as a result of a new comp system. Goodness.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly surprising for me to hear, but not unheard of. Oftentimes when new technology gets implemented, there's a learning curve period. I suspect that the reason that the time doubled is because there wasn't enough forethought to the training of agents, and they're getting acquainted with the new techniques that the automated or the technology system introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that it goes back again to monitoring and coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they need to take a look, deep look at what has happened and what is the reason for this, mm-hmm. and determine whether it has to do with the technique, whether it has to do with a whole different way of logging the call in terms of fields that need to be filled or information that needs to be supplied. But definitely, I think over time, if they're aware that this is a problem and begin to delve into what are the root causes and then implement training and coaching to deal with it, that they can bring that back down.
Okay, great.
But that number is a very high number.
yeah. Again, people, process, and technologies. We got to. Okay, Sean, you have another caller. Maybe we can still fit in, even though we're sort of at the bottom of the hour. But love to take another one.
Yep. Just give me 1 second. I just need to bring her on. Manisha, you are live. Please ask Bruce and John your question.
Okay, I wanted to know if you factor in call delay in your AC, and do industries factor that in their ACW?
Really good question. And the way that most switches are, ACDs are designed, that is not included. Delay time is not included in ACW time.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that in your particular situation it is, then that's an area that you ought to get in touch with your IT people and have removed, because that's really not something that's under the agent's control.
And Manisha, what sort of a system do you have?
We have Nortel.
Uh-huh.
100%. Yeah,
okay, and do you know whether that is currently included in your after-call work time, or you're not sure?
No, it's not included. That's why I wanted to know if we have our wrap time is 1 minute. Our after-work call time is 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
However, I believe there's a 35-second call delay, and I believe the agents are probably using that time to finish
mm-hmm.
documenting call. So I want to know if that should be a part of the ACW, or should we just separate that from the ACW?
Well, we get into a gray area here, absolutely. John, did you want to comment on that?
Well, I can see both sides of that question in my mind. And again, what I think is fair to the agent is they can't be judged or penalized for a built-in delay. And so after call, to measure them accurately in order to determine how they're performing, that should not be included in the ACW metric.
So just to be clear, we have a situation in which agents finish the call, and then they go into after-call work time, and they do the work that they need to do, and then they push a button, and they're back, or you know, however it's done with the desktop. And at that point, they're available again, but there's a scheduled delay in there, which allows them for a little bit of a pause before they're actually going to be taken up again in queue. And, you know, what should we do about that? And I think that if that's the situation, then what John Chatterley is saying is right. That is obviously time that the management has to be aware of, but it's not really after call work time. It's more like pause time. John, do I have that right? Do you agree?
That is right, Bruce.
Right. Okay. Manisha, does that answer your question? And are there anything else on after call work time?
No, that answered my question. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I'm sorry, but what I wanted to know is, do you find that some agents are using that pause time, or is this like a unique situation where we have the pause time and other industries don't?
I think that, you know, that sort of agent-based type of thing, and in a sense, from a managerial point of view, you like that because that means that they are actually digging into their own pause time or delay time for doing real work, right? So you say, hey, great. But statistically, you know, I think most centers will find that their agents will use after-call work time for work time, and then they'll push the button and they will be in pause.
Okay.
And just a follow-on comment to what you just said, Bruce, and that is that if you're benchmarking yourself with other companies in your industry, make sure that you're all using the same definition of after-call work time so that you're not benchmarking, so that your after-call work time with rep, with a delay time rolled in, is not being benchmarked against a company whose after-call work time is strictly that.
Right, and benchmark work, we don't include that, and that's why we have a very extensive glossary of terms and answer questions on these things all the time, just to make sure that it is apples to apples. Well, thank you very much for your call. Great. Sean, should we end it off here? I know we've gone beyond our half hour. A lot of interest in this topic.
Yep. I wanted to thank our co-host today, John Charlie, for his great insight in the show. Thanks for all the questions from the participants. Another really great show. don't forget that you can sign up for our reality check to see how your after-call work time compares to peers in your industry. Our winner today for the in-depth reality check is Christine. Christine, if you could send an email to calltalk@benchmarkportal.com, we will get you your free in-depth reality check. The topic for our show on February 3rd is compensation strategies for agents and supervisors. Again, thank you for attending our show, and we'll see you on February 3rd.